Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last week. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to pay tribute to a great American patriot, Senator John McCain, who left this earth. We pray that God will forgive his sins, say well done, and receive him into eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Senator McCain was held 5 years in the Vietnamese prison and was tortured to the point that his arm was out of the socket. He was handicapped the rest of his life. But he had a great love for this country, and he treated serving this country as though he were in a ministry. So we thank you for his life, Father. Bless him forever, and comfort his wife, Cindy, and the 7 children. Senator John McCain, we remember with love. And now, Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. Last week, Mark had John the Baptist go to prison, and then Jesus just stood up to the plate, got up to the plate, and began his ministry. And people were following Jesus. You could hardly get to the door. They would come in, they were surrounding his door. And Jesus even healed a leper. Now let's begin. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. Capernaum means compassion. Obviously, Jesus loved Capernaum. He would often go there, city of compassion. Jesus is our compassionate counselor. Now, it does not tell us that he's in Peter's house like last week. It does not tell us that he's in his house. He does not tell us it's a friend's house, that he rented it. But we know he's in a house in Capernaum. And whatever house he's in, obviously has free will with the house. Keep that in mind.
And it was noised that he was in the house.
It wasn't Elvis. We heard that Elvis was in the house. No, it was noised that Jesus was in the house. So this is a house and he's in it. Does he own it? Well, you know, he was a carpenter. He didn't know how to build one. Or he could just say, house be built. He could do that too. But he was in the house.
Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door.
Now you can see from this week to last week's teaching that his ministry has grown, because last week they were gathered where he was in Simon Peter's house, and they could come in at the door. They were gathered at the door, and one by one they would come in to get healed and delivered from their demons. But boy, the crowd has come. I mean, there's a crowd all around, all the way. You couldn't even find the door. There were so many people. Now, let's see what he does.
He preached the word unto them.
And he preached the word unto him. Very important. Please underline that. Okay. Now, 99.9%, in other words, only about a half a percentage of all those thousands of people coming to him came for the word. Most everyone did what all Christians do now. They came to him to get the stuff. He would say in another gospel, you come to me for the miracles and the fishes and the loaves. None of you want my heart. But you know what he did? He preached the word. Now, he knows they're coming for healing and deliverance from demons, but there they are. He's got an audience, so he just goes on and does the right thing and preaches the word. Why is that? Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them. Jesus is the living word, and the Bible is the word. So the first thing you do before you pray for somebody who's sick is to give them the word. How about that? You know, the Holy Spirit taught me this many years ago. I was already teaching the Bible. I really did that from a child. But in my studio, and then the Lord started putting it on my heart to start praying for the sick after I would teach the Bible, to have the healing ministry. And I would always tell the people, let's hear the word first. I would watch that. And the Holy Spirit would show me that lots and lots of people were healed, just hundreds and hundreds of healings. But he showed me the reason was they came and heard the word first. People would call me, and they still do for prayer. And I always say, why don't you come on Sundays and hear the word, or Wednesdays and hear the word. Hear the word first. He sent his word and healed you. See, that's essential. So Jesus didn't say, I know y'all don't want the word. Let me just give you the stuff. That's what you're here for. Nope. You're going to hear the word. Why is that? Because that's what you need. See, most of the time you don't even need a doctor, you need the word. Most of the time you don't need a new job, you need the word. Most of the time you don't need a mate, you just need the word. Most of the time you don't need to be discouraged, you just need the word.
And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy.
Okay, so now somebody's trying to get in there, they can't get in the door. Palsy means a paralyzed person. But he's paralyzed and cannot bring himself.
Which was born of four.
Okay, here's what happened. Four friends of this paralyzed person say, if we can get our friend to Jesus, Jesus will heal him. Now, like the leper last week, the leper was healed because the leper himself believed that Jesus would heal him. This man, you know perfectly well, is going to be healed. I read the rest of the story. And you know Jesus is going to heal him. But it's not necessarily by his faith. It's his four friends who are believing for him. They are believing for him. Do you realize he said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, heal the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. See, many times you can stand in the gap and believe for someone and God will honor your prayer. He does it to me all the time. Strangers I've never known. I'll feel that fire go into the body part. He'll show me the body part. I've never met the person before and they'll be healed. That's nothing to do with me. No praise or honor and glory. That's the way it should be for you. So see, you have a responsibility. So these four people love him enough to bring him to Jesus. Do you love anybody enough to bring them to the word which they need to hear so they can get the healing?
Four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was.
Now here's Jesus. He's down there. Now you know Jesus is the living word and Jesus wrote the Bible. Jesus is probably saying, he wouldn't be doing a sermon, he wouldn't be talking about Aunt Edna, he wouldn't be doing a book about the book or traditions of man which make void the word of God. Jesus would be quoting the scripture, probably Isaiah 61. Jesus is probably saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And about that moment a piece of plaster falls on Jesus' head. What? I mean, there's a hole in the roof. These people are up there. It's a flat roof. All those roofs were flat so they could walk on them. They couldn't get in the door. These four people haul this paralyzed man up there on what he's going to call his bed, but it's really a pallet. And then they tear up the roof and they're going to start lowering their friend down in front of Jesus. Now, you know, Jesus could have said, wait just a minute, you're damaging my property. Jesus is a carpenter. He probably said, oh, well, I can fix that. Or he said, I could just say, roof be healed, and it'll be healed. Can you imagine the sense of humor? Jesus is preaching, and everybody looks up, and there's a hole in the roof. And what are these people doing with the paralyzed man?
When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
The bed is not like a nice bed in your nice home. It's talking about a pallet. It means a little piece of cloth. Hopefully it's got a cushion in it. Did you sleep on the floor? He was paralyzed. Each one of his friends held one corner. Have you ever held the corner of your friend when they could move no more? Did you just hold one time or stare at them and say, I'm sorry? Were you there to hold up their cushion until they could walk again? Do you live this way? If you don't, shame on you. Bear one another's burdens. They bore his burden. They bore him to the healer.
Five. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy.
Now, look at that. Jesus saw their faith. You say, that's faith? Yes. Did you know that if a person really lives by faith, if you start watching their life, you're going to see it? There's nothing more boring than a Christian that goes to church all the time and there's never anything in their life that really is faith. They're sweet and nice, they're faithful and true, but there's not one area, not their health, not their money, not their finances, not their daily life, not their prayers, nothing is by faith. Here's the title of this lesson tonight. Get it, please. It's called Faith is an Act. Would you say that for me, please? Faith is an act. In other words, once that prayer is prayed, act like God answered. It's not phony. I used to have another radio program many years ago, and I called it Teaching the Temple, Temple Teaching. I would teach the word, and then I did Tone the Temple, and I told them to do things and pray for them, and I said, okay, say your legs couldn't walk, do something to act your faith out. If you can't wiggle your toes, wiggle your nose. In other words, do something, you see. Now next week we're going to get a great example of someone who can't move a thing but is still going to do the act of faith. Do people see faith in you, or is that just something you say? Will you live your whole life and one day your name will be in the obituary and nobody could write on your tombstone, he, she lived by faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is an act, and faith shows.
Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Now Jesus puts a monkey wrench in there. Now remember, the phony church leaders, the fake church leaders were there. They wanted to impeach Jesus. See, he really was Isaiah 7:14 manifest, which says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So far they weren't quite sure. He was the Messiah. There he was, Isaiah 7:14, standing before them. So it's about time for him to start revealing himself. So he said, I'm Isaiah 7:14, I'm the Messiah. Son, your sins be forgiven. What does that mean? Only God can forgive sins. The phony church leaders wanting to impeach Jesus so he wouldn't be the Messiah thought that was blasphemy. He's making himself equal to God. Only God can forgive sins. Now, I would say to you, you can hurt me, and whether you ask me to or not, I will forgive you because I'm not carrying that on me. But you have to take that sin you did to me, and you got to get God to forgive you. You understand what I'm saying? So now we can help people to get their sins forgiven when we pray the prayer of salvation. That's a different story. So Jesus says, son, your sins be forgiven. Now remember, the phony church leaders were gasping. What? Only God can forgive. Who is this young whippersnapper here calling himself Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel, God with us? Look up there, he's already performing blasphemy.
6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. 7, why does this man speak blasphemies?
They're just mumbling and grumbling and thinking bad things. Blasphemies, anything that's against the Holy Spirit. And next week we're going to learn about what the unforgivable sin is. It'll be in that lesson. And or maybe calling yourself God, like the Antichrist is going to call himself Christ. So they want to impeach Jesus. They want to remove him from his office of Messiah. And they think they've got him now. We've got you now. You walked into our little trap there. We sent a special people here to investigate you, and we found you said that you could forgive sins. Only God can do that. You've committed blasphemy, Jesus. We're going to impeach you.
Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit,
they don't realize Jesus can read their mind. Jesus can read your mind. There's no place you can go where he won't know what's going on with you.
They so reasoned with themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? 9, whether it is easier to say, the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk.
So Jesus is going to be nice to him. Listen, he said, okay, you can see the man's paralyzed. You church leaders, you help people so much. Ha, 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 he says, tongue in cheek. Which is easier? Now, which one of you church leaders, which one of you Christians see a paralyzed person? Which would be easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or rise, take up your bed, and walk?
First of all, they didn't have the ability to heal, and neither do you in yourself. It would actually be easier to say your sins be forgiven. Who would know? That's what he's saying. Now, there was method in Jesus' madness. It really wasn't madness. It was genius that he said this. He wants them to know that he is Isaiah 7:14 standing before them, Emmanuel, God with us.
10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine house. 12, and immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all.
God is very dramatic. Jan Crouch, who was the wife, she's in heaven now, Paul Crouch, who founded TBN, she and her husband and her son Matthew, they were thinking about expanding to having movies of the scripture, and they wanted to make sure it was God's will. So she had a vision. She had visions and dreams like I do. And she said, God loves movies. God loves plays. I've learned that too. That's why he gave me theatrical gifts and all, so we can put his word in a play. God's very dramatic. I mean, you know, only God could have orchestrated that. This crippled man gets let through the roof. Jesus says, I forgive your sins. The man takes up his pallet, walks out, struts right out before them all. That is dramatic. Good job, God. Good job, God.
Much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion.
Even the phony church leaders had to say, boy, we can't do that. We never saw anything like that. That'll make a believer out of you. You know, miracles and signs and wonders, I'm so sorry that people have to see them to believe, but sometimes it does cause people to believe. And that's the only reason we ask for that gift. Well, we want to help people. But if they see the miracles and signs and wonders, hopefully they will believe that our Lord is the Savior and is the Passover Lamb who died and rose and shed his blood for the remission of their sins.
13, and when he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them.
He's very charismatic. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means Messiah or the Anointed One. The anointing is charismatic. It draws, it's just an invisible quality that draws people to you. Wherever he went, you notice he didn't say he would heal the sick and cast out devils. He just started teaching them. See, nothing is to be exalted above the Word of God. What's wrong in the body of Christ in the United States of America and planet Earth is you don't get the Word. You want to go to church. You want to hurry up and have the healing service. You want somebody to hurry up and pray for you. You want to hurry up and get your job, get your car, get your thing. No, you go to church to worship Him and hear His voice so you can hear the Word and then go out and do the Word. That's the way it is. Amen. It's the Word of God, but take care of everything else.
And he passed by and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom.
Levi, he's of the tribe of Levi. Now we're going to find he's going to become a disciple, and his disciple name, we're told later, will be Matthew. He wrote the book of Matthew later on. He's a tax collector. He saw that crowd out there, so he put up his little table, got all those people to pay taxes when they came to get healed. And everybody hated tax collectors, and nobody in particular likes to pay taxes now, do they?
Said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him.
Why did Levi or Matthew follow Jesus immediately? Because of the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, or Revelation 12. When we were in our spiritual bodies and there was a small group of people that stayed true to God. And each one of us has been sent out one time in the flesh through our mother's womb to be the oracles of light in each generation. They were chosen before the foundation of the earth. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and no other voice will they follow. My sheep know my voice, and my sheep follow me. I'll tell you something, Christian, if you're an elect, when you hear the voice, and it'll be the voice of truth, because Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. You know it, and nobody can change your mind. Something happens to you on the inside, a light bulb comes out, and you have heard your shepherd's voice, and your destiny is changed forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in his house.
Okay, Levi or Matthew invites Jesus to his house. I'm sure it's a nice house because tax collectors made good money. And he doesn't have any church friends, so he invites sinners and other tax collectors to have dinner with Jesus. Well, you know, come and see how I live, Jesus.
Publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. 16, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?
Sinners! Why would this Messiah want to be with sinners? Now we're really going to impeach him.
17, and when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Jesus has that wonderful sarcastic tongue in cheek. He looked at them, the phony church leaders, with their traditions of men which make void the word of God, with their silly rules that they've added to Moses' law, and not one drop of love in their heart. They don't even care about the poor paralyzed man. And he said, oh no, you church leaders, you're so good. You are religious hypocrites. You don't need, you're so all together. I didn't come to save you. I came to save these miserable people who know they're sinners. He came to save sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am the chiefest.
18, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, why the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?
Boy, he was getting it from the church folks. Now he's getting it from John the Baptist's followers. John the Baptist in jail. Now, so they're coming after him and then saying, you think we're fasting and you're not, and everybody fasts. Now, fasting is a beautiful Christian thing. It's one of the great weapons in your arsenal. You have these things to defeat the devil. You have the name of Jesus. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the word of God, which is Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have thanksgiving. You have giving. And you have fasting. There's a time to fast. Now, he's going to say, no, I'm not fasting right now. You notice that everybody from every corner wants to remove Jesus, impeach him from being the Messiah. Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes, the preacher says. What has been will be again. We see it outplayed in our government.
19, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast? The bridegroom is with them.
Jesus is the bridegroom and we're the bride. Boy, his disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, and now Matthew, also called Levi, they were so happy. I mean, they've got it made. They aren't even thinking that it's going to be a crucifixion, that this Jesus is going to be taken from them. They thought the kingdom we set upon earth. Oh, they're so happy. When you have a wedding, you want to bring out the banquet and the best food. You don't want to fast.
As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. 20, but the days will come, and the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days.
And that's what we do while Jesus' Spirit is with us. We often fast for our friends, we fast for ourselves. We fast for people who do not even know us, and we fast for our country.
21, no man seweth a piece of old garment on a new garment. Else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse.
Okay, in Bible times they did not have pre-shrunk material, but they would make some clothing and they wash it so many times that it was shrunk down to the last bit of shrinkage. But if it got a hole in it, if they took a new piece of cloth, not shrunk at all, not washed yet, and sewed up the little hole there, then it would pucker when it was washed and would be a make a mess. So he's saying, you can't even take the truth. You have so shrunk in your understanding of the love of God. There's not even a little place in you to have love in your heart. You're just a pickle, puckering.
22, And no man putteth new wine into old bottles.
The word bottle there in the Greek means skin, like a wine skin. A wine skin was made of the skin of an animal. They would take, let's say, a lamb and fold it up, the skin of a lamb, and fold up the little feet, make it into sort of like a little bottle container there. Now, while that skin is fresh and pliable, you can put wine in it. New wine ferments, it's fermentation, which means the new wine expands, expands, expands. If the wine skin is new and fresh and pliable, then that's okay, it won't burst. But if you put this new wine exploding, exploding, fermenting, fermenting into the old wine skin that has become brittle, it will break.
The new wine bursts the bottles, and the wine is spilt, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles.
Now, what are you saying? You have gotten so narrow in your thinking. You have stopped growing in God's Word. You have allowed the traditions of men to make void the Word of God. You've been listening to somebody's life proverb and fly-away doctrine. You have been listening to this and listening to that. You've not put the Word of God. The Word of God is pregnant. It's ever-stretching and ever-growing. And God's Word is true. Really, Jesus didn't come to give a new message. All of that, the three earth and heaven ages, is not a new message. It's been in Peter and Revelation and Isaiah and Paul and all these places all the time in Jeremiah. It just was not discovered. The fallen angels are not new. The order of the trumps is not new. But it's new to people who have narrowed themselves and gotten themselves so brittle and so closed in that they've stopped growing. Don't you ever stop growing. God is so exciting, so majestic, so wonderful. You want to search for Him the rest of your eternity, more and more of it. We find Him when we search Him with all our heart, but there's so much more to Him.
Amen. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day.
Uh-oh.
And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn.
Now this was actually a grain, and they would get a pod, take it in their arms and rub it real fast like that and get the husk off the little grain and just use it for a protein pick-me-up. Just a little munchy there. Now what had happened, the scribes and Pharisees, they messed up God's law. God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 20, and that would be in the Ten Commandments. But the Pharisees added all kinds of rules. You could only walk so far. You couldn't cook. Some denominations say don't cook, don't do this, don't do that. And so now they've made a ritual out of the Sabbath day. So they said, sinners, now we're going to impeach him and all his cabinet.
And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day do that which is not lawful? 25.
It was lawful to God. It's just they had made up their own rules.
He said unto them, have you never read what David did? And he had need and was hungry, he and they that were with him. 26. How he went into the house of God in those days of Abiathar the high priest.
Abiathar's name means father of abundance.
The showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest.
But you see, Abiathar knew that David was anointed, and God has made you a king and a priest unto him, and David was a priest, Acts 2. So David was given the bread of the temple, and he gave it to his men.
He gave also to them which were with him. 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
See, God made our bodies, and he said, 6 days thou shalt work, on the seventh day you rest. It doesn't mean you sleep later, go to the beach, or be lazy and not cook or not anything. It's talking about on the seventh day, get yourself together, take yourself a bath, and go somewhere where you're going to feast on the Word of God. Some of you say, I'm too tired to go to church on Sunday. That's why you're tired. The rest comes in the Word of God. Jesus is the Sabbath. He is the Passover. The reason you're so tired, you just aren't getting the Word there. You're thinking it's the Word, but it's pulling away at the Word, people pulling at you. Stop, stop, stop. And rest in the Word. Jesus is our Passover Lamb. He is our Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Go and worship the Lord. You'll have a whole new refreshed attitude, and you'll be able to tackle the world in the name of Jesus and by His blood
on the next day.
Amen. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Praise the Lord. So you see, faith is an act, and God looks on the heart rather than all the rituals and traditions of men. We'll begin right there. Next week, we're going to get better and better. Mark, you know, Mark is going to tell us the whole seven trumps of the book of Revelation. Mark is going to tell us about the soon coming Antichrist. So we have so much to look forward to. Right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. Oh, that's a great place. My twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Now, that's the bread of life there, right?
Yes.
It was, very much. Okay, our first question. Did Jesus sabotage his Ten Commandments when he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself"?
No, he did not sabotage it. These were the same church leaders. They wanted to impeach him, and they thought if they could get him to break the law, that was the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, that they could, you know, kill him or something like that. No, what it was, the first commandment that Jesus gave, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, all thy soul, with all thy might," is the first five of the Ten Commandments. Read them at home in Exodus 20. The second is likened to it, "Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself." That's like the last five of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not murder," etc. So Jesus just narrowed it down anon, as Mark says, immediately. He narrowed it down, and he just hit the rubber hit the road.
Yeah. They were always trying to trick up the living word, weren't they?
To impeach him, that's right. I use that word because I want all of you to know that everything that's going on in the Bible is going on in the world in some kind of a little drama.
Yeah.
In our country, mostly.
And did David really leave his stuff in the cart?
David left his stuff in the cart. I'm glad you asked that question. And Scott, Ezekiel left his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
"One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." A supernatural alignment of sowers, laborers, and the reapers. "I am realigning the testimony of your inheritance."
Thank you. That is so great. The sowing and the reaping. And when we get to chapter 4 in Mark, we're really going
to
talk about sowing and reaping.
Yeah,
thank you very much. That's appropriate. You might want to read that again when we get to that one. Thank you, Scott Merson. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but most important, let me pray for any of you who are not saved. The time is short. You need to get right with God. You don't know when your time's coming, so be ready. Pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your truth.
Grow me in your truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many people into Jesus' kingdom.
To bring many people into your kingdom.
Jesus' kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a few minutes, you're going to hear my announcer give you my telephone number. Feel free to call me and tell me if you were saved then. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Praise the Father, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, Father, I ask, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. To the north, the south, and the east and west, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow into the atmosphere, into the brain cells. Let the clots on the brains be gone. Let the right eye see and the left eye see. The blood clots be gone, and all of the sinuses be whole. Eardrums be healed in Jesus' name. Everything get back in place. Bones be made strong. He is health to your bones, life to your bones. Run, not be weary. Walk, do not faint. Grow in the strength and power of Jesus Christ. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you healed. Extend your hands up to God and reach out and grab the healing. He sent his word and healed you. He is Yahweh Rapha. He is the Lord who heals you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. There's something about the skin. There's somebody with a skin problem. The skin is being healed right now. Psoriasis or whatever it is, the skin becomes smooth and inflammation be gone in Jesus' name. Fresh as that of a child, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. And now when you want to call and tell me that you were healed, I would love to hear that. Don't forget that on Sunday, we do this radio recording live here at my school at 5 p.m. And when we finish that, we open up the holy bench for healing and deliverance. We pray for the sick and we cast out devils in Jesus' name. And he does the healing every Sunday after the 5 p.m. We do the same thing, Jesus. We preach the word and then we heal the sick and we raise the dead. And we cast out demons. You don't do that, you're not normal. He told us all to do that, so we're following him. And remember, Wednesdays, it's 6 p.m. Every Thursday from 12 to 2, Scott and I meet here and pray for the world and pray for you. Tell everybody about WMIU Radio, WMIUFM.com, on demand. I mean, we're putting those books on there of the Bible. And you can have a whole seminary education of the teaching there, book, chapter, verse, and line on there. And go ahead and take advantage of that. God bless you. Now remember this about Jesus, Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Nothing is given you to keep. It is a sin for you to keep this. It's like putting new wine into old wineskins. Don't be a brittle wineskin. Be pliable, be flexible. Go and tell others and bring them into the kingdom. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you. Thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth. Side out.
I would take no for an answer, just to know I heard you speak. And I'm wondering why I've never seen the signs they claim they see. Well, are the special revelations meant for everybody but me? Maybe I don't truly know you, or maybe I just simply believe. 'Cause I can sniff, I can see, and I can count up pretty high. But these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to smell the color nine. Smell the color nine. Now I've never felt the presence, but I know you're always near. And I've never heard the calling, but somehow you've led me right here. So I'm not looking for burning bushes or some divine graffiti to appear. I'm just begging you your wisdom, and I believe you're putting some here. 'Cause I can sniff, I can see, and I can count up pretty high. But these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to smell the color night. Aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to. Well, I can't sniff, I can see, and I can count up pretty high. But these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to. Sometimes finding you, it's just like trying to. Sometimes finding you, it's just like trying to smell the color night. Smell the color night. Night's not a color, and even if it were, you can't smell a color. No, that's my point exactly.
She Listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Sun, moon, and stars rejoice on high. Praise to the Lord of light divine.
Yeah. I felt the thunder. Speak of your name. And I've watched the lightning, your glory proclaim. I've gazed upon mountains that testify of your fame. And I've heard the waves on the ocean echo their refrain. This is my song.
Listen up, I got a question here. Would anybody miss you if you disappeared? Well, your life is the song that you sing, and the whole wide world is listening. Well, the answer to the question is, you were created, your life is a gift, and the lights are shining on you. Anybody miss you if you disappeared? Well, your life is the song that you sing, and the whole wide world is listening.